Acts chapter 16, and we're going to read from verse 1. And I have particularly some of the younger people in mind here as we speak about these things, but I think we all enjoy the narrative and the story here about the Apostle Paul and his missionary journeys. And that's where we're finding ourselves this morning in chapter 16. He's just recently with Silas, Paul, having embarked upon their second missionary journey to go back and visit the churches that had been established during that first missionary journey that he made with Barnabas. So Acts chapter 16 verse 1 says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported," that is the young man Timothy or Timotheus, "which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and to circumcise him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." Well, that's all I want to read at the moment from this 16th chapter of Acts. But I want us to just notice that Paul and Silas here are hastening on in their journey. They had gone up through Syria. They had gone into Cilicia. They had traveled through the countryside. And they had arrived back at these cities where the apostle had established some churches on their previous occasion, the previous journey. They had both established churches and preached and created quite a stir in these cities. And the fact that they arrive back at these little towns, Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, and the fact that they find the churches there still in existence after this period of time that they have been away, I think tells us several things that I want just to point out here. The first one is this. These were brave men. Paul and Silas were brave men. Paul had been severely beaten, and he had been stoned to the point of death in Lystra. Yet here he was returning to the very same town and probably many of the same people that had stoned him first time he made a gospel presentation there. He was returning there to Lystra because he loved the Lord and he felt the burden of the Lord's message to these people. And he was returning to Lystra because he loved the Lord's people and he did not want to leave them alone. He was concerned for the well-being of these little churches, these young fellowships, and the converts that were there. And there's a point of note there. Being a Christian can be a frightening experience sometimes, especially for younger people, but really for everyone. We were down at the rescue mission last night, and I don't doubt for a moment that whoever it is that is preaching at the rescue mission from the church here feels both the responsibility and the obligation that is laid upon them, but they feel also the flutters in their tummy, the butterflies, if you like, the anxiety, the pressure, the stress that builds up of being in a relatively strange situation amongst all these people and having to stand up and minister for the Lord. It takes boldness to be a Christian in a sinful world. And we all ought to remember that. We need help. We need the encouragement of the Lord and of one another. And Paul is a fine example. I wonder what Silas thought. Well, here we're coming to Lystra. Was this where they stoned you, Paul? Yeah. There, just there. I wonder what Silas thought. So here they are. Remember, the Lord says to his people, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The second thing which is interesting is that Paul was delighted to find these churches active and well. And I think that that is a cause for praise to God. Here were little churches formed, established in the midst of persecution, and yet there they existed. As far as we know, without a preacher amongst them, or at least no one that we recognize, just a little group of believers coming together and being provided for by God the Holy Spirit. There was no New Testament scriptures. There was no widespread communication opportunities. There was just those few folk who had trusted the Lord when a man came through the town 2 years ago. And here he's come back, and what does he find? That little cluster are still there worshipping the Lord. Praise be to Jesus. You know, the big crusades that roll in and out, they always want to have plenty of backup groups and places to slot the people into, and connections and support groups. And when a person gets saved, the Lord Jesus Christ looks after them. The Holy Spirit ministers to them. And in all the false religion that surrounded these people, all the persecutors that were there, the Lord preserved his own. Maybe just a little handful, maybe just a family or two. But the Lord preserved his people, and the true gospel could not be destroyed. And here Paul and Silas, they meet a young man called Timothy. And we discover that he's a believer, he and his mother both. And we later discover that his grandmother also. And I always think it's lovely to see that young people get saved too. You know, young people get saved too. And Timothy was just a youngster. He was just a young man. His mother was a Jew. His father was a Greek. And it's very possible that he was converted there the last time that Paul had preached. And here he was, having seen the apostle stoned. He nevertheless was remaining faithful, because the churches spoke well of him. Not only in his own town, but in several other churches. They saw the evident hand of the Lord in this young man's life. And the Apostle Paul recognized something special about him too. And he felt that it would be helpful to take Timothy with them on their missionary journeys, perhaps to introduce him to the sort of ministry that Paul was preaching. It seems strange to me, in some respects, given all that had transpired in the previous chapter at the Council of Jerusalem, and the trouble that there had been at Antioch with the Judaizers, that Paul should take and circumcise Timothy. I don't really understand why that happened. I can imagine that perhaps the apostle looked upon this pragmatically as a practical thing, thinking to himself that, well, we're going to be moving amongst Jews, we're going to be preaching in synagogues. If Timothy is going to be with us and part of our party, then he's going to have to be circumcised in order to be accepted into the synagogue. Well, that was his logic, and who's to second guess the apostle? But it's hard to know exactly the circumstances here. As they traveled, Paul informed the churches of the rulings that had been made at Jerusalem. And I think that's good to remember too. He obviously had a burden that these Judaizers were going to be continually a problem to these young Gentile churches. And in order to make sure that that message had been conveyed and was understood, he was telling all the churches, wherever it was that he preached, that only the question about idol worship was to be recognized and accepted. There was no other worship than the one true God. And if you abided by that, then all of these other ceremonial or legal obligations had no burden for you. The churches had been established in faith. They had been brought together under gospel truth and upon New Testament principles of worship and obedience. Now they were being established by the apostle. There was no need, there was no place for looking over their shoulder to the old ceremonial, religious, sacrificial systems of the past. They had to look forward to the Lord Jesus Christ, and this gospel message was going forth into their society. The faith that they had shows that the just shall live by faith, not by the works of our hand or of our deeds. This emphasizes the freedom that the Lord's people have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it's amazing for us to just note here that God preserves his people. He leads and he guides his church. He looks after his little ones against all the odds. And the Lord raises up faithful men like Paul and Silas. And he raises up the next generation of Timothys and Tituses as well. And sometimes we become a little bit anxious about what's the future of the church. The Lord knows exactly what he is doing. It's a great blessing, and it is a great peace upon the hearts of his people to commit our cares to the Lord, knowing that he cares for us. Thank you.